Hello and welcome to The God Who Builds, a journey of discovery through the book of Nehemiah, highlighting the rebuilding work of the Holy Spirit in our lives here at Empower Church.
Awesome. Well, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 3. We're going to be parking there again. The last time that we were diving into the book of Nehemiah together, we started this sort of flyby as we were looking at the different gates and the spiritual significance that those have for our lives, the pictures that they point to, the pictures that they paint for our spiritual walk. And so we've already looked at four of the gates. And so today we're going to tackle the next three. And then next week we will tackle the three after that. And then we'll get on with the rest of the story of Nehemiah, which is awesome, by the way. It's a great story. And so today we're going to kick off and we're starting with this gate that's called the Dung Gate. Yes, that's right. Dung. Dung. Dung, which is another word for excrement, which is another word for, and that's all I'm really going to say because I'm trying to be all PC up in here, right? Okay. PC. And when I told you before we started this series that I really felt that it was a prophetic series, that God had something that he wanted to say, I never anticipated the events that are slowly unfolding in our supermarkets. And Australia has this preoccupation, as Bethany mentioned, with buying massive quantities of toilet paper in recent days. And I think that as we tackle the Dung Gate, it's going to take on greater significance. And I just want to piggyback on what Bethany just said there. Isn't it a comfort to know that we've got a stockpile in the house of God? Yeah? She's got us covered. I actually have a scripture. Are you ready for my scripture? Acts 2:44, it says that they shared their belongings with anyone who was in need. If you were in need, see Bethany. So the Dung Gate. All right, the Dung Gate. It's some translations that you have, they might say refuse gate. It's this name that this gate actually bears to this very day. If you were to go to Jerusalem, you could actually go and see the Dung Gate. It's still there. They've actually got a sign up that says Dung Gate. I'm not joking. And you can kind of look at that and think, naming this portal gate, you know, after a word that is, you know, a little bit nicer word for excrement, but not much nicer. Maybe it's a little unusual. Maybe it sounds a little bit distasteful. But the fact is that daily the city's garbage was removed through that gate. And that refuge, that garbage, it did include human and animal dung. Okay, now this is all going to be a little bit indelicate. Can you just trek with me for a little bit? And I kind of have to say that I feel the way that I did when I was teaching year 7 and they gave me the sex ed class. Okay, there were a lot of giggles happening. I feel like that's what's going to happen here today, but I am going to soldier on. Is that all right? You know, some of us, we might feel the same way about the word dung as we do the words repentance or sin or conviction. We might not mind so much that initial thought of coming to Jesus and bringing all of our past sin and knowing that he's going to wash us clean and he's going to forgive us for those things in our past. But what about the day-to-day mess that we make? What about the day-to-day mess that we make? And I'm guessing that if you are anything like me, even though I've been walking with Jesus for 20 years now, I still mess up. I still sin. I still stuff it up. I still choose wrongly. Thank the Lord, it's less frequently than what it used to be, but it still happens in my life. And the thing is that we need to understand that happens for all of us. It happens for all of us. Mess happens. Sin happens. We've got a fleshly nature that hasn't been fully transformed into the likeness of Christ yet, which means that we've got an ample opportunity for these concepts of repentance, for conviction, for pursuit of the Holy Spirit, for him to come and speak to us and for us to have this Dung Gate in use in our lives. You know, this idea, you know, we're being transformed, it's a process. And even now, after 20 years of walking with Jesus, I still have some CRA garbage in my life that doesn't belong there. And so what does that mean? It means that when the Holy Spirit comes, and he does, he's so good at this, he'll come and he'll put his little Holy Spirit flashlight on an area of my life and say, hey, Amber, we need to talk about this. Hey, Amber, hey, wow, that was a reaction. Why did you react that way? Whoa, what's going on there? I'm reading the word and I find things that is going on in my heart and in my mind that actually doesn't line up with the word of God at all. What does that mean? That means it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. And so this dung gate is a picture of the purging and the cleansing process that every believer walks through daily. And it's okay. It's okay. I think sometimes we try to so pretend that we've got it all together and that we never mess up and that we've got it all completely perfect and everything's fine. That's on one side. And then on the other, we can find some people that are always like downcast and, oh, I'm a worm. I'm such a sinner. I can't believe that. God doesn't want either of those extremes for us. What he wants is us right there in the middle with open hearts. Hearts that are open to what the Spirit is saying. Hearts that are willing to let go of things that we don't need anymore, that we could take out the garbage daily. Daily. The dung gate, was one of the first places that Nehemiah went out in that nighttime jaunt that he did. It just reflects the Holy Spirit's desire that he wants us to stay sensitive to sin and obedient in our motives and our actions and to be willing to confess our sins when we fail. John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. What we're talking about here is the concept of holiness. You know, the word holiness and wholeness, they actually have the same root. It's a sense of being made whole. And that's God's heart for each of us, that we would be made whole in him. Holiness is not about having a lot of rules that binds up your life. It's about getting as close to God as you can so that he can restore who we're actually meant to be. And so the Holy Spirit, he comes and he points out our sins, not to condemn us, but to reveal it to us so that we have an opportunity to confess and to repent so that we can enter into a whole new level of freedom. We're meant to dwell in the light. We are. That's, as Christians, that's what he's called us to do. And so you're going to find that this idea of cleansing and this idea of confidence before him and the joy of every day that we can have in him as the blood of Jesus delivers us and purifies us every single day. Every single day. You know, as you are here in your body, you are having a pattern going on that you're probably not even aware of unless you stop to think about it, because this is what your body's designed to do. You're designed to inhale and what? Exhale. And there's this life-giving oxygen that's carried through your bloodstream and it courses through your whole body. And as it circulates, the blood is going to pick up impurities and these different refuse from the cells in your body. And that means that matter is able to be collected and expelled from your body. Yeah. Similarly, as we daily breathe in the life-giving word of God, the Holy Spirit collects the impurities of our sins, of our mistakes, of our wrong thinkings, of the things that are holding us back. And by our confession and by the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, he's able to come and cleanse and purify our souls. So that we don't have to carry around the heaviness. We don't have to live in trapped ways of thinking. We can walk in the freedom that he has for us each and every day. And so when the Holy Spirit brings our sins to the surface, it's not with this accusing, aha, I caught you. And, you know, the helicopter comes in and angels all jump out. And, you know, like the angel police, they're not here. Like, you know, it's not that kind of a thing at all. What we have is a father who loves us, a father that wants the best for us. And he uses the light of the word to show us what he wants to deal with next in our lives so that we can be made more whole. And so when sin surfaces, confession is a natural product that we should do. You know, Scripture says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This combination of the word, of confession, of the blood of Jesus, they work their way through our spiritual systems and it purifies us, as much as we allow it to do so in our lives. As much as we allow it. And you know, I pray that we would be the kind of people that wouldn't wink at sin, that we would, you know, not navel gaze and look for things that aren't necessarily there, but that we would be the kind of people that would keep short accounts, that we would know what it is to walk in forgiveness towards one another, that if we make a mistake, we can apologize to one another, but more importantly, that we can make it right between us and our Heavenly Father, because He is in the business of lifting the parameters off of us, of lifting the borders off of us. He wants us to have these wide, amazing, expansive lives, freedom in Him. And so all of this stuff is just stuff that's going to trip us up. And He's trying to bring us into freedom. You know, the Greek word for confession is homologo, and it means to speak the same thing. And so, you know, confess, I think we have a wrong picture of it sometimes, that it's this breaking guilt, you know. And yes, there's a sense of remorse, I think, when we fall into sin or we do something that hurts the heart of God. That's a natural part of it. But what we do when we confess is we start to speak the same thing. What that means is that when the Father comes to us and says, I don't want you to do that anymore, our response can be, you know what, Lord, you're right. I don't want to do that anymore either. And He says to us, you know, I see that you haven't surrendered that part of your heart to me yet. There's some fear going on in there. And then we can say, Lord, I see it now and I do surrender it to you. It's an invitation to freedom. That's what the dung gate is. That's what the dung gate is. This is practical sanctification. And the thing is that it doesn't threaten the position that we have in Christ, our assurance in Him. You know, it's not sacrificed during this process of daily cleansing and empowering, but it's moving us further and further into holiness before Him. And it's the what I mean by holiness is the restoration of our wholeness. That's what that is. You know, you can go out and spend all day and you're working. You're maybe not even necessarily in the garden, but when you come home, what do? You have a shower. You have a shower. Why? Because dirt happens. Yeah? Sin happens. The world splashes on us. Attitudes creep up. We have an ample opportunity to get so close to the heart of God. And I think we need to renew our minds to what confession actually is. To renew our minds to seeing sin is not this dirty, awful, disgusting thing that I can't talk about, but as this barrier between us and God that we don't want to have there anymore. And if we can start seeing it like that, our hearts are going to be so broken before Him. Our hearts are going to be so yearning for His holiness, His wholeness to come into us, that there's not going to be a separation between us. That's what He has for us. That's what the dung gate is. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what happens to the dung gate. It brings us closer to God. It scours us from that stinking dung, you know, lust or lack of integrity or greed or hurt or bitterness or pride or laziness. I mean, I'm just listing out a few things here: insecurity, fear, whatever it is. There's a hit list for each of us. You know what I mean? And the thing is that to grow, we need to throw out these sins. We need to throw out these wrong thinkings. We need to throw out those things that aren't serving us. God has so much more for us. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily tangles us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what happens at the dung gate. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get off that one now. Fountain gate is the next one. The fountain gate. A fountain is a natural source of flowing water that comes from underground. And the fountain gate was, if you were to look at some of the archaeological pictures that they have of Nehemiah's time, the fountain gate was on the eastern wall. It was just north of the dung gate. And I, you know, it's this strategic location. It's near the pool of Siloam. It's where the water flows. And I think it's really interesting that it's next to the dung gate. I do. You know, throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit, he's represented by many, many things. We see Him described as a mighty rushing wind, fire, rivers, water under pressure. Every description of the Holy Spirit's representation has this element of extra power. the power, like a soda, when you open it after it's been shaken, it comes in like this gate, this water that's under pressure. It's a fountain that bubbles up. And the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that there's so much untapped power that's there for our taking. There's a gift in the Holy Spirit. He has power for us. And it's so important that as we go through the dung gate and we start releasing things out of our lives, that we don't just leave this void. That it's so strategic that it's right next to the fountain gate, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and fill that area of your life. You see, he's not asking for anything from you that's going to harm you. What he wants is to make room for more of him to come in. And see, we can go through that fountain gate and we can start to access the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that he has for us. You know, in Genesis 7:11, it says that fountains of the great deep were broken up. These were so intense that in our natural understanding, we could equate them to a tsunami or an earthquake. The power of the Holy Spirit is like this. It can create, it can fix, it can reveal all manner of things if we allow it. And so the Holy Spirit, he's come to this earth and his power is here to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to deliver the captive. And he's made himself available to us. John 4:14 says this, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, this is the Holy Spirit's function, but most Christians are satisfied with not coming into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand how he works, and so they choose to not go through this gate, even though it's there. There's a lot of people that will ridicule Holy Spirit manifestations or say that signs went out with the apostles' miracles don't happen anymore. You know, 2 Timothy 3:5 says this to us, that some possess a form of godliness but deny the power. And there are people, sadly, to this day, that don't understand that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. That the Holy Spirit is here to heal and to deliver and to empower us to live lives that are free, to live lives that are amazing in him. He wants to restore us and he wants to fill us with power, not just for our sake, but for a generation that's out there that doesn't know he exists. They don't understand how he works. And we get to be vessels of the Holy Spirit if we walk through the gate. You know, a lot of newer homes being built in Australia, there's been this eye towards sustainability. You know, we'll have, things on the roof, the solar panels on the roof. You'll see rain tanks in the backyard. It's a good thing. And I think, you know, particularly because Australia tends to, you know, have seasons of drought and whatnot, it's a good thing to be able to collect that rainwater that flows off the roof. You know, the water that's collected, it's great, but we call it gray water, which means that it's fine for us to use to do our laundry or to flush the toilets, water the garden, but it's not actually good enough for us to drink or to bathe in, yeah? And so, you know, we have a picture of this in Scripture as well. We see that in this day and time that biblical cisterns, rain tanks essentially, were also used for livestock and for household chores, but the water wasn't fresh or living. But fountains had fresh water. Fountains had springs, had wells, had water that could be used for drinking. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You know, it's possible for us to take the natural resources of water from God's hand and to try to do things in our own strength, to do things ourselves. And all our efforts are going to fall short. This is why he's given us the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. and he comes alongside as our helper. He's not a broken cistern. And so many of us try to camp around a broken cistern where we feel like we're collecting the things that we need, but it's never going to do what we need it to do. It only comes through the fountain. It only comes through the Holy Spirit. You know, we've replaced a lot of us true living water offered by the Holy Spirit by man-made broken systems of religion. And Jeremiah, he calls it flat out. He calls it evil. And too many Christians are satisfied to drink from stagnant cisterns rather than the well of living water. You know, cisterns, that old still covenant, that's what Jesus came to fulfill so that we could have a new covenant, a better covenant in him. The Holy Spirit is the fountain of living water. He's our fresh well. You know, I've got an iPhone. Most of us have an iPhone or something similar, Samsung or whatever. I was at the shops one day and I just needed a quick cup of coffee. And so I sat down and I'm looking over my shopping list and I had my phone out and there was an older gentleman. He was probably, he looked like he was 130. I don't know how old he actually was. He was quite old. He was sitting at the table next to me and he was holding an iPhone as well. And I smiled at him and he saw my phone and he said, you know, my kids got me this and they tell me that it can do emails and it can check the weather for me and I can get on the internet and I can take photos. But you know what? All I really use it for is phone calls. All I use it for is phone calls. And you know, I think a lot of us will treat salvation like that in our lives, that salvation is just salvation, but actually it's so much more. It's so much more. Some people say, yep, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but they rarely use them. You know, some people will say, yes, God still moves today, but do we really seek a prophetic word for our day? Or are we trying to tap into what the Holy Spirit's saying to us right then and there? Are we praying for people that we see out on the street that aren't feeling well? There's an opportunity for us to be that living water for someone else. Let the Holy Spirit flow through us. You see, this is what he calls us to. He has so much more for us, but so many of us will just settle for making phone calls when there's so much more potential that we have in our hands. Paul admonishes the church at Corinth for having fights among themselves, and he says that they're behaving like mere men. Mere men. You know, I actually think when we refuse to press into what's available, we're actually acting like mere men. That's not what God has for us. He's got a super to cover our natural. Jesus says that when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit, the Father is going to send in his name. He's going to teach us all things. We've been promised all things, but the reality most Christians have is this mixed negative feeling about the Holy Spirit, and so they settle for a few things. A few things. They have a knowledge that God can do anything, but rarely do they experience that reality that he does do all things. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, anyone can come in and he'll be saved. He shall go in and out and he shall find pasture. You know, through Christ, we come into this wonderful door of salvation. And like any door, it's a passageway into a more fertile pasture. The things of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you can look at them and maybe they seem a little odd, maybe they seem a little strange, but the thing is that there's this limitless power to those that can tap into his depths, and there's an invitation there for us. The activation of the Holy Spirit and a full surrender to him can bring growth and power and these essential tools for our progression in our Christian walk that will accelerate us more than anything else can. More than anything else can. You know, most Christians, though, they just sort of shy back from the Holy Spirit when really he's been given to be such a friend to us. They have reasons for not pressing in, and I can understand there's some fear and maybe there's been some bad experiences or maybe there's some uncertainty, but you know what? There's depth there that God wants to bring. And there's a point where we can come and we can understand what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, that we need to be filled with the Spirit. And what that word filled means, it's not just you do it once and that's it. It's to be continually filled, to drink from the fountain. to drink from the fountain. This fountain gate, it's so important. The fountain of his Holy Spirit is going to fill every void left after we've walked through that dung gate. You know, letting go of some things, addictions, bad thinking, we need something to come in and fill that spot so that we don't go back to where we were. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He comes in to teach us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to minister to us, to fill us with his power and to set us loose so that we can see that happen for the sake of others. And this is what we learn, that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit and all that he has to give when we walk through that fountain gate. Amen? Amen. All right. The last one that we're going to tackle today is the Watergate, which is not a political scandal. Well, it was. That's not what we're talking about today. You know, the earth is 70% water, they say. I haven't measured it, but I trust them. 70% water. And I've read, and maybe Kate, she's a nurse, she can verify this or not, but I've read that the human body is 60% water in males, 55% water in females, and 70% water in children. I'm pretty sure that my children are 70% chips. But anyway, you know, depending on different conditions, someone can last more than a month without food, but no more than a week without water. Water is vital. Water not only invigorates us, but it's important for our survival. It's important for our bathing. It's important for our drinking. And so this next gate, the water gate, is incredibly crucial. Incredibly crucial. And it represents one aspect of our walk that's incredibly important as well. It represents the Word of God. Christians need to be washed constantly with the water of the Word. I don't know what your experience is like just being out in the world. And I'm not saying the world is completely evil, but it does splash some stuff on you. This week is a prime example. There's so much fear being broadcasted over social media and on the news. And when you talk to people, there's panic around people. That's what's coming over us, just as an example of one thing right now, washing over us. And so this is the importance of the water of the Word coming to set us free from those things, to cleanse us, to get that stuff off of us. You know, we grow and we experience more of the Lord, and we, just as in our human lives, we can't ignore basic needs. And a basic need for a Christian is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And a lot of us go without God's Word all week until Sunday. And you know, what we're doing is we're barely surviving by doing that. God's got more for us. And just as we need a constant supply of natural water, we need a dose of the Word every single day to replenish what living takes out. A regular stream of spiritual water, his Word, it allows us not only to survive, but to thrive. And that's what God has for us, that we can experience so much growth in God when we learn to dig in his Word. You know, we've been looking at these gates, and you know, there's an order that we see there. So we're making our way this way, counterclockwise. Yes, counterclockwise. and so now we're down here at the fountain gate, up to the water gate. And it's interesting to me that it's positioned that way. You know, a lot of people would look at that and would think, well, why wouldn't you have the Word of God first and then the Holy Spirit? Why would it be the fountain gate first? And I don't think it's like that by accident. I really don't. It's through the fountain gate that we can get a better understanding and appreciation for the water gate. And it's through the Holy Spirit that the Word becomes alive, because the Holy Spirit has come fully into us and gives us insight into God's Word to help us interpret it correctly. You know, we're never going to be able to see the Word of God correctly apart from the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees in Jesus' day, they couldn't. They tried to interpret Scripture apart from the Holy Spirit. And we have, sadly, today, modern-day Pharisees who deliberately cut themselves off from that fountain gate, the Holy Spirit, and because of that, they have a twisted view of the Word of God. They have an interpretation that's not right, that's not God's heart. And so as we start to look at this gate, I cannot stress enough the positioning of these two gates together. They're not independent of one another. They're positioned there by design. And I want us to be, as a people, wary of taking and receiving counsel from teachers or friends, ministers, books, whatever you're exposing yourself to, that celebrate only the Word of God but reject the Holy Spirit's active, empowering, visible, miraculous work on earth today. You know, that's what the Word of God means by having a form of godliness but denying the power. Both these gates need to be fully operational in our lives. And so far we've been looking at these different gates up until this point, and I just love that all throughout we can see that the Holy Spirit's fingerprints are on all of them, and the Word of God's fingerprints are on all of them, because that's how we live our lives out as Christians. They're so important. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, so, so important. And so at the water gate, you know, we may be in previous gates, we've looked at the Word and we've seen the Word and how it works there, how it reveals through the sheep gate, it reveals more of Jesus to us. At the ancient gate, how it shows us deeper truth. And those are all great things. But I love this gate so much, because when we get to this point in our Christian walk, when we get to that point where we're rehanging that water gate and we're understanding the importance of it, it means that we are ready to be fully immersed in the Word. You know what? I think it's really cool. It's the seventh gate. Seven in Scripture means perfection and completeness. It's this beautiful picture of the Word of God, perfect and complete. Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it also remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me." The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. He's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is so important for our lives. And I'm going to keep this short, and I'm going to just blitz through it, so don't be alarmed. But I want to just highlight very quickly, there's so many more, but very quickly, 30 things that the Word of God does, all right? I'm going to be like an auctioneer. Are you ready? They're going to come up on this screen, not the verses, just the reference. And if you want to jot those down and look them up later, I promise you that is going to be a rewarding study for you to do this week. And so here we go. First one, the Word of God is truth, and when we follow it, we're made free. John 8:32. The Word heals and delivers. Psalm 107:20. The Word protects, Psalm 18:30. Meditating on the Word brings wisdom, prosperity, and success, Joshua 1:8. The Word brings stability, fruitfulness, and fulfillment, and that all we do will prosper, Psalm 1:3. The Word of God upholds, guides, maintains, and propels the universe, Hebrews 1:3. God's Word has the power to create, Genesis 1. Those who order their conduct and conversation according to the Word are blessed, Psalm 119:2. The Word cleanses us and purifies us, Psalm 119:9, John 15:3, John 17:17, and Ephesians 5:26. The Word reduces the capacity to sin. It strengthens us against temptation, Psalm 119:11. The Word revives and stimulates us, Psalm 119:25 and 50. God's Word enables us to walk at liberty and ease, Psalm 119:45. God's Word is filled with promises to give us mercy and grace, Psalm 119:58. God's Word gives us good judgment, wise and right discernment and knowledge, Psalm 119:66. When we're afflicted, God's Word quickens us and gives us life, Psalm 119:107. God's Word gives us hope, Psalm 119:1. You should just basically just read Psalm 119. It's going to be awesome. The entrance of God's Word brings light and dispels darkness. God's Word brings direction and shows us what to do. God's Word strengthens us. God's Word melts the hardness in our hearts. God's Word transforms, changes us into God's image. God's Word is a weapon against the devil and an armor that protects us in warfare. God's Word renews our minds. God's Word destroys mental strongholds, lies, and teaches us the truth. God's Word comforts and consoles us. God's Word helps us see see the error of our ways and turn in God's direction. God's word gives us great peace. God's word abiding in our hearts makes us victorious over the wicked one. We are born again, regenerated by the ever-living, lasting word of God. The word of God endures forever, and it is good news. Amen? That's only 30. What the word does in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, I don't know this side of eternity we will fully understand. But when we partner with the Holy Spirit and we take in God's word, it does something. It shifts something inside of us. It sets us free. It brings us into greater truth. It brings us into greater power. It brings us into greater victory. It brings us into greater peace. And we need a lot more of that on earth today. Amen? We need God's word. You know, when I was a kid, I would come home from high school and I would feel like I was starving at the end of the day. Like I was just so hungry. And I think a lot of it was just, you know, a habit. You know, you come home and you eat. And you know, sometimes I would come home and I would go to raid the pantry and my mom would be making dinner. And as I was opening up the pantry to get something to snack on, I'd hear my mom say, "Amber, get a glass of water. I'm cooking." Meaning, don't spoil your dinner. I'm cooking. Just, you know, have something to drink for now. And I would, you know, because I was a delightful teenager, I would be so obedient and I would walk over and I would get a glass of water. And it was amazing. I would drink that glass of water. And then so often I would drink a second glass of water straight after because I didn't realize how thirsty I actually was. You know, I'd gone through the whole day at school not actually thinking about how much I needed to drink. And I think that that's, you know, where we have to find ourselves in life. You know, I was getting my signals mixed up. I thought I was hungry, but I wasn't. I was thirsty. And I thought I needed a snack, but what I really needed was water. And so many of us spend so much of our lives reaching out for the snacks of that Netflix show or the snacks of retail therapy or the snacks of Facebook scrolling or the snacks of whatever, you fill in the blank. But what we really need is the water of the Word of God. Now, I'm not opposed to snacks, okay? Snacks have their place, but snacks ain't water. They're not water. Nothing is going to be as good for you to take in as the life-giving water of the Word of God. And so if reading your Bible is new to you, that's okay. If all you do is come to church and that's where you hear the Word of God, that's a great start. But can I just encourage you? There's other steps that we can take to make sure that we're drinking daily. We need water every day in our physical bodies, yeah? Our spiritual bodies need it too. We need the water of the Word. And so I want to encourage you, you know, if you're new to reading your Bible, that's all right. Start in the Gospels. They're exciting. They're filled with stories and drama, and you can find out more about Jesus and see his heart towards you through it. Another option is that you can download a devotional. You know, YouVersion, you know, jump on the App Store. They've got so many different devotionals that you can look up, and you can find things that are broken down into different topics that you might be interested in. If you're struggling with anxiety, you can tap that in, and there'll be a whole bunch of different devotions that will come and bring you a drink of water every morning. And it gets us in the habit and the flow of reading the Word daily. And you know what? Before we realize it, we're up to 8 glasses of water a day. That's where God wants us to be. He doesn't want just a little sip for us, but it starts with a sip, and then we realize how thirsty we are. We realize that that is the only thing that is going to satisfy. It's a great way to get started on our daily Bible reading. You know, I don't know, and I don't say this flippantly, I don't know where I would be without the Word of God in my life. Before coming to Christ, I was a train wreck. I was so riddled with insecurities and fears. I was so bound by addictions and bondages, and something happened when I came into God's presence, when I felt the Holy Spirit, and when I started to drink from the living water that he had for me. My life started to change. I don't know who I would be without the Word of God in my life. And I want to encourage you today that as we start to look at this gate, all of these gates, you know, looking at what we can let go of, the things that are holding us back, the bad thought patterns and the things that aren't serving us well, as we surrender those things to Jesus and we let him fill the void through that bubbling fountain in the Holy Spirit that he has. And as we step into understanding more of his heart, more of his ways through the word of God, allowing that to speak to us through the Holy Spirit, it's an amazing thing that holds us together and forges character and forges this deep passion for his presence in our lives. That's what he has. Amen. That's what he has. That's what he has for us. And when we start to hang these gates correctly in our lives, we're going to realize that they're there for us to utilize, to walk through, in and out, all of them. They all paint a picture of what it is to walk the steps of discipleship, following Jesus. Following Jesus. And when we do that, when we rehang these gates, the growth that takes place in our lives, the closeness we have to our Heavenly Father, to our Jesus, who is everything to us, he doesn't want there to be barriers. He wants us to be so close, amen? And the more we walk through, the more that we hang things correctly, the more that we put the foundations in the way that they need to be, the more that we become who we are meant to be in him. Amen. Why don't we pray together today, church?
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.